Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Welcome all the listening audience tonight. I'm alone tonight behind the mic, but I'm not alone and away too far from Mother Jennifer because Mother Jennifer's with me tonight. So bless you and greetings again. Let me get some tens in the chat room if you can hear me. Just before the show, I was checking out the calendar. Today is the last day of August, and we're only 15 days away from the Feast of Trumpets. Amazing, right? Very, very quick harvesting year for us, and it's coming to an end. There's a chill in the air here. The weather has changed, and I look forward to seeing so many of you guys. I hope our conversation really edifies you tonight. All praises to the Most High Yah that we're able to come before you in health and in strength. And Mother Jennifer, I'm ready to hear your voice and get a sound check on you. Thank you for the tens, my audience.
Hallelujah. Shalom, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you all, and bless you, Sister Ashley. I cannot believe that we are so close to the fall feast, but I'm very excited about it. I pray everyone can hear me well. I can hear you, Sister Ashley, and when you get ready, we can move forward.
Praise God. All right, 15 days, like I said, until the Feast of Trumpets and 24 days until the Day of Atonement. Most importantly, though, I have to say that the Feast of Tabernacles, which a large majority of you guys will be coming for, begins on a Thursday night, okay, the 28th of September. So in 28 days, you guys will arrive. We won't be having a show twice in the month of September, and I want to tell you those dates now. We will not have a show on Thursday night, September 14th, because we'll be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. And we won't have a show September the 28th. We will be celebrating our first night of Feast of Tabernacles when we have a large crowd of people on the land. We don't have a show in this small office. If we had a huge building that could hold everyone with all the wiring and all the computer screens, we would interview all of you. But until then, we cancel the show and we enjoy the feast. Hallelujah. So, Mother Jennifer, we'll have one more show that's next week before we have a week off for the feast. Hallelujah. How was your week? All praises to the Father. Thanks for joining me tonight, Mother Jennifer. How was your week?
It's been a very good week, Sister Ashley. The children started school. The brothers are still building. We have the decking business going forward. There's work being done on Elder Rufus's home. We still have work being done in the garden, and everyone here is doing well and growing spiritually, and it's just a blessing, a beautiful thing to see. So we've all had a very good week here. What about you all?
Yes, a very good week. It's week two for us for back to school. We conquered it. Today was our last day of week two. We love it. I love it. I love what I do. I love what we do. We began PE at 7 a.m. this week per pastor's request, and it's going wonderful. So 3 days a week, all the children are out and in PE at 7 a.m., and then breakfast and then school. And it's really good discipline, and I really, really enjoy it. What else can I share? We're harvesting a lot of green beans. We were able to share some with Goshen when we saw a few surprise guests this week that came up from Goshen, took some back. So that was a blessing. Hauling or unloading via blessings as they come in. We're still not removing anything from the list and putting things away in the storage room. Once a week, we always clean the dining hall, chow hall, tabernacle, and kitchen. So those four things are every week. And lots of weeding, lots of just continual, you know, the season of life. So we stay busy. We do stay busy, and it's really, really productive, really successful. Also wanted to just acknowledge Goshen for their music. I really enjoy the hit list. I've said it, tons and tons of times before, and I noticed that some of their songs posted just as short as five months ago are already at 15,000 to 18,000 views. Let's keep listening to that list. Let's keep getting those algorithms out and about, and, you know, YouTube can share that music. It's really beautiful. And then who knows, you know, the Most High Yah can use the music to bring in a soul. I personally appreciate last night's show, Lion's Den. Personally appreciate it. It's important. It's my opinion. It's important for the people of Israel to see visual examples of humility. That's very important. It's a world full of pride, you know. Man is full of pride. The earth is full of pride. And you're not going to find a lot of humility in the world without the Messiah, you know. And so that meekness and that humility is expressed in Pastor Daniel and a few of the brethren there. And I really appreciate humility. It's just something that, you know, I long for as a part of my character, and I admire it in others. So it's just godly to me, and I personally appreciated last night's show again and again. Hallelujah. I don't know. What about you, Mother Jennifer? Anything else?
Looks like, Sister Ashley, we have an announcement from Sister Allison regarding the marketplace. Would you like to read that?
Sure, go ahead.
It says, shalom and blessings. If anyone would like to pre-order bulk orders for venison, jerky, freeze-dried apples, bananas, and or pineapples to be picked up at the hub during the marketplace, please reach out to Sister Allison on Marco Polo by September 10th. So the deadline is September 10th. So she's saying, if you would like to place your pre-orders or bulk orders for venison jerky, freeze-dried apples, bananas, and or pineapples to be picked up at Straightway during the marketplace, please reach out to Sister Allison on Marco Polo, and you can find her under the username NC Allison Franson. That's NC Allison Franson. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Remember your kimchi and hoodies and shirts and Carol and many other things. So Midnight Air will be announced and the dates, and, of course, we'll have orientation. So look forward to seeing you guys. I wanted to I got an email that asked about hoodies, and I only made one announcement on the on the show a few weeks ago about the hoodies. I was not aware of the cutoff date, or I would have said it, but it is already too late to pre-order or to make any more orders for hoodies. If that changes, Nelly will let me know. But that's how I'm going to reply to the email, and that's how I have to inform you guys. If you didn't get your hoodie, and if you didn't do it promptly once we announced it on this show, or if you haven't called in for it, then as of right now, we're not making any more hoodie orders. Hallelujah. I think I said it all. I think I did. I think I couldn't talk enough about how much I love going back to school. It's been really wonderful, you know, having structure and discipline and going back to, I don't know, just pouring into the children, you know. I love it. Hallelujah. Hey, tonight, what we want to do is kick off a conversation that we hope you're going to help us. Let me go over to my screen. Hallelujah. I hope you're going to help us talk tonight, as you have before, when you type in your questions in the chat, when you call, if you want to call, guest call-ins 310-982-4226. If you email us, it's all lowercase, straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. Any of those avenues that you want to give us some feedback or ask us a question, we would love this show tonight to be based on what you would like us to talk about. I can't always depend on that when I'm initiating a conversation, or Mother Jennifer can't always depend on that when she's communicating to you guys. So we have to have something in our minds going in to the show to start a communication that will spark interest from you or questions from you. So that's the hope tonight. And I had asked Sakina prior this week, earlier days of this week, what were my questions that were still in the queue, you know, what were the questions that have been asked by you guys, whether in chat room or email on our shows, that has not been answered. I've been asking her to keep up with those, and we were down to just two. So tonight I want to bring one of those up. I remember who asked it, so shout out to you. You're going to remember if you're asking, if you're listening. And the question in its context made a comparison between Arrested Development and romance. And so tonight I want to communicate with Mother Jennifer and kind of pry into that can of worms, you know, that Arrested Development talk and romance talk, to make your minds maybe think, you know, and always think and look inside yourself as I do, and start, you know, just continue this journey of healing. And I hope the Most High Yah blesses our conversation tonight and reaches any or one of you. Praise Yah. So I don't really know how to start it, Mother Jennifer, other than to say what Arrested Development is again. We get a lot of feedback when we talk about Arrested Development. You could probably never talk too much about it. But Arrested Development would be stunted, slowed, or weakened growth. Stunted, slowed, or weakened growth, making you inactive or capturing you in some state of mind or state of mental being or state of physical captivity, and keeping you stagnant, you know, keeping you in a way that's not right. And so that's Arrested Development. And then I'll let you just give your own words for what romance is, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Romance is a term that we have been taught by this culture that we grew up in, where the woman is catered to, where the woman is the prize, and the men actually submit to the women. It's to appease the emotion of the woman, to appease her flesh, to make her feel good. Her security is pretty much in the fact that the man does exactly everything that she desires. It has nothing to do with correcting behaviors if she's going awry. It has nothing to do with wanting her to be righteous. It has everything to do with appeasing to her flesh and making her flesh feel good. And so that is how love is defined when it comes to romance. in this culture that we were taught by the Romans. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Back and forth tonight in our conversation, I'm going to be jumping from Arrested Development to romance and then allowing your minds, hopefully, to see the similarities and maybe tie it all in together. I wanted to ask Mother Jennifer, when did romance become appealing to you and become a part of you?
Sister Ashley, when I think about that question, I can think back as early as elementary school, and I can think all the way back to the things that we were exposed to in elementary school, like, for example, Valentine's Day. You know, we were celebrating Valentine's Day. I remember boys giving girls Valentine's cards, girls giving boys Valentine's cards, and it was encouraged, you know, for boys and girls to communicate that they liked each other. So even from that young of an age, children being exposed to romance, you know, even from that early on, I think I can remember as far back as that. That's the one thing that really stands out in my mind. Sister Ashley?
I briefly had chatted with Mother Jennifer right before this show, and I told her I was going to ask her that question, and she said public school, you know. She said public school, and everything else that she just said is new to my ears as well, because right before the show, it was just that. It was just public school. She knew where she was going with the answer, and I consider my introduction to romance being public school as well. You have the, I guess I would say the desire is introduced to, through the cards, through the parties, through the relationships that other people have that are built on, you know, ungodly foundations, you know, relationships amongst children that are not biblical, and these relationships are all around you. And, of course, it's going to make you, or Satan is going to begin to accuse your own mind and give you a perception of yourself that's new to you. And, yes, I was also in public school, and my sister was promiscuous growing up and had a lot of attention and a lot of what looked like to me from my age. And my perception at that young of an age, it looked like love, right? Attention looks like love. Attention feels like love. And with that thought, you know, as I was considering this question today and considering, you know, Sakina giving it back to me, I had to think about the word dopamine, you know, this boring biology word or science word or psychology word, whatever you want to say, that releases those feel-good transmitters in your body. You know, everybody's got them. We all feel it. So dopamine is released when, for food, when you're eating. Of course, you know, for the drugs and the pornography and the addictions, right, that Pastor just recently said, there's no addiction without pain first, you know. In my words, not his, but it's similar. That's what he was saying, you know, addictions come from pain. All right, so let me not go down that road. Let me just stick to this dopamine for a moment. When you have dopamine released into your body, you feel good. That is how the body was made, okay? Getting your will, getting your way, releases dopamine. A new relationship releases dopamine. And that's somewhat of a correlation between Arrested Development and romance, because when you get your will as a child and you get a release of dopamine, you can feel good, right, as a child. And Arrested Development will or can stunt someone or slow someone's growth by having your own way too often. So if you were to give a child their way continually and not introduce the balance of no and training and balance of discipline and nurture and just the whole – well-rounded love, you know, if you don't give that child well-rounded love, then they're going to believe that that dopamine release, that feel-good moment and having their way is right because it's the only time they feel good. And the same reflection for romance, as Mother Jennifer, even when she introduced romance to us tonight, you know, just in her opinion, I asked her, in your opinion, what is romance? And some of the words that she used was appease, you know, to appease you, to give you everything you desire. And there's that kind of mirror reflection of Arrested Development because it's that childish self-will, you know, once you have a relationship that is giving you a feeling, when it's brand new or just when it's built off of romance and the man meeting those desires that you have, then you're going to get that dopamine release and you're going to get that feeling that you like, you know. And I won't say it yet, but we're older women now, Mother Jennifer and myself, and we can come from a perspective of how to live without that feeling. Whereas someone who is younger or misunderstanding love, whereas you wouldn't know, you know, you wouldn't understand love. But let me jump back to you, Mother Jennifer, and not get too far ahead of myself. Go ahead.
You know, you brought up the maturity, you know, us being older. And I want to say that when I first came to Straightway, I think one of the main things that really stood out to me was how very balanced Straightway is as a whole when it comes to relationships between husbands and wives. Regarding, you know, when I first came to the ministry, I didn't see all the public affection, the women hanging off the men, the women continually in the men's faces. I didn't see that. I saw a really good balance. I saw women being taken care of. I saw men going out and working every day. I saw women doing their duties during the day. And then in the evening, they went home and they had personal time. But it was so different from how I grew up and, you know, what I was used to seeing. And I really love that balance, and it really taught me just a lot. It really did. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the fact that attention, it feels like love. It looks like love, you know, but attention does not equate to love. And for those who have, you know, addictive behaviors that they've never dealt with or they've never controlled before, and they're looking for that dopamine release, they're looking for the attention because they equate it to love, that will be the wrong path to go down because you're going to end up having this level of rejection on you that has nothing to do with anyone else. It's going to be a self-inflicted rejection because you don't fully understand, you know, the true role, the true balance between husband and wife relationships. Sister Ashley?
Talk to me about how women are, can I use the word driven, or let me finish my sentence. Women are driven to look to their husbands to provide their needs. That's a nature. Driven might not be the right word, but women look to their husbands to provide needs. It's in us. And those needs being met can easily fall into categories of being like their natural father who neglected them or abused them or who wasn't there, you know. Talk to me about women's dependency on a man without the ungodly attitude or babying codependency.
Yes, ma'am. Well, for a woman, her desire is to feel secure in a relationship, to feel secure in her marriage. That is her desire. Men are providers. You know, it's just natural. It's just what Yah put in women and men. So for women, they want to feel secure by being provided for. once you know that you have a man who is truly a provider, that he can provide for you spiritually, he can provide a home for you, he can provide clothing, he can provide food, you know, he can provide conjugal rights, he can provide everything that you actually need, then a woman is going to feel secure. But it is very important for a woman to understand what a true need is and what a need is not. So if you don't have the maturity in your mind, then you're coming from, let's say you're coming from a perspective of romance, a romantic perspective, then you're going to think that, okay, I need to have affection that looks like this. I need to have more attention that looks like this. And the man is actually providing everything that you truly need, but you have to make sure that it's not, your needs are not according to your flesh, that you're not feeding your flesh. You have to really be balanced. I'm not saying that we're robots. I'm not saying that we don't have feelings. And I'm not even saying that you won't be shown affection at all. I'm saying that there's a balance in all of it. Mr. Ashley?
I think I can tie in what you said to Arrested Development again. That's what I'm trying to do, go back and forth tonight. Demanding needs from our husbands and not communicating them, because you are adults, you know. Demanding needs from him based on what you feel within your flesh, gimme, 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 can be very childlike. You know, having your own way and your own, really it's mental impairment, you know, when and just being able to know that you're not seeing correctly and that the needs don't come from you or your heart or your discernment. You know, you can have that presented to your mind. You can have that thought that I need this or I need this, right? Because our nature is to need. We are codependent on our husband, on our maker, on our father. But that patience in waiting, or the belief and the hope that your need is being met in the way that you need it to be met, that takes some maturity too. But these are learned behaviors, obviously, from childhood, the demands that we put on life and on relationships that we have, and that whole gimme, gimme, gimme nature, you know, is a very learned, selfish behavior. And, yes, it can come over into your life and manifest itself even in romance. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, very true. And, you know, I think when it comes to Arrested Development, you have to understand that Arrested Development can, you talked about it being stunted growth, and that can be spiritually, it could be mentally, it can even be physically. But if you realize that there's something off, there's something wrong, you have to make sure that you first look at yourself in your relationship, look at yourself in your marriage, and evaluate yourself. This is not for you to point the finger at anyone else. It's for you to actually reflect and to look at yourself, and to truly go to the Father with true confessions, with true repentance. And this is what Pastor Muir was talking about, how when you truly go and you truly confess the way that you need to, that's when changes are made. So you have to discern and understand your spirit. You have to discern and understand, okay, where are the ways where I've been unbalanced in these areas? Where are the ways that I've accused my husband of not being a provider, but he actually has? You know, it has not appeased my flesh. Where are the ways where I've accused him of, you know, me not being secure because of my flesh? So you have to think about you, and that is how you have to go to the Father, by looking at you, looking at your shortcomings, looking at yourself and confessing those things so that you could properly repent. Sister Ashley?
I actually think about music as being a doorway to appeasing our flesh. And why I think about it is because it caters to any feeling, and I'm meaning music early on and growing up, you know, what you may listen to, what was, and more so for women because the emotions are communicated through the lyrics. And so you can find anything out there that's going to make you justified to feel how you feel or to make you connect with someone else who's feeling it, you know. And so music was a huge, like, just stronghold, a doorway to I'm going to listen to something that I feel like. And it doesn't give you any mental opposition. It allows you to passively agree with the wrong feelings, you know. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Music, movies, social media, it literally is all around. And this is why Pastor talks a lot about, you know, if I had a daughter, she wouldn't have a phone. And it's so true because there's so much. The devil is just waiting to just grab their minds at any chance he can get. He literally just wants a doorway. And the music can be so subtle. You may not even think that there's anything wrong with it. Oh, they're just singing about love. No, they're singing about romance. You know, there's something that the devil wants to implant into their minds into thinking that, okay, romance is something normal. Romance is what you deserve. You should be receiving romance. And then years later down the line, you wonder why her mind is so opposite of where it needs to be. So, yes, it is very important to make sure you guard what they are watching and listening to. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Granny Barb just walked in. Hey, guys, we want to keep you engaged tonight, and I hope that it's, you know, I don't know, interesting, making you think. I don't know, put some puzzle pieces in your mind together. May the Most High Yah give you understanding. I want to, I don't know, move throughout the show into different topics, too, if you desire, so don't forget. Put something in the chat room, question, feedback, I don't know, testimony in the email. Very good, Mother Jennifer, very good. Let's jump over to a clip from the Lion's Den. I don't know when I'll end it, but this is going to change up the chat a little bit, so we'll jump from Arrested Development and Romance over to Forgiveness of Self. So bless you, Granny Barb. Thanks for joining us. Let's see. Give me a sound check, okay? I'm going to turn this up. Dun, dun, dun. And push play.
Right. And, you know, usually when people ask questions like that, I think, you know, and I try to discern what vein they answer the question in, because here it is. You do have people that genuinely have a hard time because they may look back on the things that they've done in their life, and Satan may have them so bound at that very moment into thinking that there's nothing. Now, you got some people that ask that because they want a pity party too, right? So you got to be discerning with it. So I remember when I got asked the question, I said, number one, you need to repent, right? And after you repent, not just words, but working out this repentance, truly starting to walk in it, right? And more you do that, is the more and more you'll realize throughout the mercy of Yah. You'll really begin to think of it because you know what you deserve, what you really truly deserve. You see what I'm saying? I've been asked this question more than one time. I remember one time I was asked the question, and I saw the vein the person was coming in. And my response was, you need to truly sometimes step back and ask yourself, how dare you? Right? How dare you, knowing how merciful Yahweh is, knowing how it is written all over the book that he'll have compassion over you, that he's long-suffering, that you have your very next breath, but you won't turn around and repent, and not only repent, but ask the Most High to purge your conscience of that mess and stop holding it. Because what are you? Who are you to sit around and hold unforgiveness? Even if it's towards yourself, how dare you sit around and hold unforgiveness towards yourself? when the king died to forgive you of your sin.
Pause, Mother Jennifer. Give me some thoughts.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. You know, it's really important to understand that Yah allows you to feel the pain of the sin that you've committed so that you never return to it. But you have to repent and move forward. You can't get stuck in that pain. And once you truly repent, like Pastor Muir said, you know, you get your conscience purged from it, and you can move forward knowing that, okay, that's behind me. And so then when the devil tries to bring it up in the future, you just literally go into praise mode. Father, thank you for delivering me from that. Thank you so much that is no longer my testimony. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he brought up the, unforgiveness toward yourself, because we're not allowed to hate what Yah loves. You shouldn't be hating what Yah loves. You shouldn't be manifesting self-hate, because Yah has love for you. So you have to show love toward yourself. And love can take on very many forms at different times. Sister Ashley?
You know, those bound by arrested development have a deep need to be loved. And then those that are bound by the romantic demands in the flesh, you know, their desires for romance, they have a deep need to be loved. And it's interesting because love already exists, right? But we're bound by the feelings that we have within our flesh. And I consider how man is so void of the Most High, meaning we're already born with an absence of Him, but in the sense that He grants us His Holy Spirit because of His love and as a gift to fill that void, right? And so in the way, Mother Jennifer and myself and those close to me being filled with the Ruach can now learn love and not lust for a feeling. And that takes maturity, because I used the word earlier, dopamine, right? The feeling of dopamine makes you feel love. You know, a drug will do that, a new relationship will do that, food will do that, you know, et cetera. And so we've had that feeling so much in our life for the many overstimulating things that's been in our life that it really distorts our perception of love, you know, that it's already existing, that Yah's spirit is there to love you and to fulfill you and to meet your needs, not based on what you demand of Him. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. We learn, you know, walking in this way, that open rebuke is love, correction is love, suffering long with someone is love, you know, having someone suffer long with you is actually love. And those things, you don't feel a dopamine release with those things. And this is why your mind can try to trick you. The devil can try to trick you into thinking that it's hate, because you don't feel that fuzzy feeling that you feel when your flesh is appeased. But you have to learn how to overcome in your mind with the word. Okay, Father, thank you for the love. Thank you for the open rebuke. Thank you for the correction. Thank you for bringing me around people who are willing to suffer long with me. And you have to understand that is actually love, the stuff that don't feel good right away. But in the end, it will lead to true repentance. It'll lead to, it's not just a worldly sorrow, it's a godly sorrow. Sister Ashley?
I'm thinking about how love is a spirit. I'm going over here to this. Oh, I keep this with me. This is like an old, it's a list of godly spirits. The date on it is August the 8th of 2009. And Elder Becker passed this out. It was a study that he did of all the godly spirits. So hold on. I keep this in my binder that I bring to majority of all the shows. And I really never use it. But, hallelujah. Let me go here. Let's see. spirit of love. 2 Timothy 1:7. Affection, to be welcomed, to be fond of, to be well pleased. Spirit of love. It makes me think that you can ask for it. And why I would say that you could ask for it is because if the word says that Yah hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, if he's given that, that's within his will to ask for it then. And then when it's been given, even in the manifestation of the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba Yahweh, and we're brought into this family, and the love is present and it's there, but you don't sense it, feel it, notice it, perceive it, whatever stunted development you have in your mind that keeps you from understanding his love, if the love has been given, then you can ask him to show you where it is. Now, you got the list that's obvious. Oh, well, you know, this sister and this sister and this brother and this is what they're doing and, you know, the word and this poured out. That I'm not talking about the obvious. I'm talking about reaching into the depths of the rejection that you deal with and really trying to see his love where your mental perception is off. Your mental perception is closed up. You can't acknowledge it or notice it. You can't see past it. You can't, because there's no feeling. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, and understanding and, you know, receiving love as the gift that it is from Yah, you know, looking at it as a gift because it is, and asking him for it and receiving it. He desires to give it, but for some it can be so hard to receive because it's blocked by so many false expectations. And we go back to the romantic love, because a lot of times there's no understanding of what love really is. So you're asking for this gift, but you don't have the understanding of how it's going to manifest. You know, it's like Pastor talked about praying for patience. If you pray for patience, he's not just going to give it to you. He's going to put you in situations where you're going to have to exhibit levels of patience. So if you're asking for the gift of love, you're going to be put in situations where you are going to be challenged to love, or you're going to be challenged to see that someone loves you. So we have to really mature when it comes to our minds and when it comes to our hearts. We just have to be mature and know that he is a father who gives good gifts. Sister Ashley?
Yah is love. Yah is love. I want to ask you what a girl's nature is like, Mother Jennifer, and I'm going to give you a second to think about it. What is a girl's nature like? And I think we'll be able to tie that into arrested development, even in our age, you know, as we're late 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever we are, we can tie that into arrested development. So I'll just ramble for a second and jump back to you for that answer. But she used the word blocked. And so thinking about how love can be blocked from us or limited in our perception, you know, our vision of seeing it around us, or if you can say feeling it, love can be blocked by every personal failure that you have, every injurious word that someone says, every time you do something again that you didn't want to do. You know, every time the enemy comes into your mind with the truth in unrighteousness and that negative feeling and emotion that you even speak over yourself, that can block love. It's not going to take love away. Love is all existing. Love is present with us. You know, the Creator is love. He loves. But as far as knowing it, living in it, breathing it, seeing it, walking in it, and becoming new in it, you know, if you still have that void, even 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, whatever, with the Father, if you still have a deep, sincere desire and need to be loved, then you're somehow arrested and stunted in your mental perception of love, right? And so just presenting that to your mind tonight might be enlightening, or if I can say that word, you know, it might open up your mind to thinking differently about love. And then we all want to be producers of it, you know. That's the goal, to produce the love that's been given to us and not selfishly have our hand out for something, but to produce it, okay? So, Mother Jennifer, what is a girl's nature like?
You know, one characteristic that I can think of right away, and this is not just the only one, but the a girl's nature is emotional. That's the thing that really stands out to me. She is driven emotionally. And early on, her emotions have to be tamed. They have to be guided in a mature manner. You have to learn how to teach her how to tame and guide her emotions. She can be very impressionable. She can be affected by something that you do or say to her for a long time, whether it's negative or if it's positive. And that impression can easily it'll leave her in a state where it'll mold her in a certain way. So it's very important to make sure that the impression that she is receiving is righteous impressions, that her emotions are guided in a proper way. You know, Yah has created women to be submissive. So if she's trained properly, she will submit. She just has to be taught. She has to have that time put in so that her emotions that she receives, or the emotions and the impression, are in order with the Most High Yah. Sister Ashley?
I really appreciated that breakdown, actually. I consider the young girls that I'm around, you know, and how important it is to influence them correctly. And then I also can see, you know, what you are speaking of as just their emotions, you know. I can see that as well. I mean, first chiefly in myself, but for the mothers with young daughters, Mother Jennifer, how can you encourage them that though the training may be endless, the cycles can be broken and the fruit can change and there is hope, and it's not like woe is us because we feel, you know, and woe is us because we're women. It's not to condemn us in the creation and being created this way, you know. Go ahead.
You think of your own upbringing and you think of the fact that, okay, this daughter has a chance. I'm going to give her the chance and the opportunity that I never had. So you think of your own upbringing and you think of the fact that you need to be patient with her. You still need to be firm. You need to be very firm when it comes to raising your daughters, but you still have to have a balance. You know, they still need to know what true love is. There still needs to be open communication when it comes to your girls, because they have a lot of questions. There's things that they're not going to understand. Sister Ashley, I remember growing up, one thing I didn't understand as a young daughter was hormones and how they worked and how they affected how I felt, you know. And when I started going through puberty and I started going through these things that I did not understand, I remember being so confused, and I never want that to happen to my daughter, because I believe that you do them a disservice when you don't teach them to understand how their bodies work, when you don't teach them to understand how their minds are going to be tempted at times, how their spirits are going to be challenged at times. It's very important to go back and think about the struggles that you had and give them a lot more than what you were given. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I praise the Father. We have beautiful opportunities. I appreciate your wisdom. I was also reflecting on, you know, childhood and being a young girl, and even in some very, you know, emotional states of mind in the faith, when you are purging yourself and you're sanctifying yourself, which is a command by the Creator from the beginning, by the way. It was the first thing that I can remember that he said to the people of Yah on Mount Sinai when he made himself known to Moshe. Tell the people to sanctify themselves. And when you sanctify yourself and you're purging, there are a lot of emotions for us sisters that are going to rise to the top so that you can see them, know them, discern them, learn them, start to decipher truth from reality, you know, truth from a lie, I mean. So, you know, when those emotions come up, you have those emotional instabilities, and you have to fight through that in this purge, you know, in this purge of perfection. So it's present with us, and there are often times where feelings are stronger than the ability to be different. That seems like how a girl's, I'm not accusing, but just when I was a girl, it's like, man, when a feeling comes on you, it seems stronger than the ability to be different, than the ability to feel different, than the ability to be what you want to be or to accept something else, because the feeling is truly all you, or so it feels, you know. Mother Jennifer?
You just told the whole truth. It is so, so true. And I was talking to Elder Rufus about this the other day, you know, just really about overcoming what you feel as opposed to what the truth really, really is. And, you know, like you said, I think it's really important to prepare our girls, you know, about the challenge that will that they will face, the challenges that they will face when it comes to feelings and how to combat that, how to know what the word says right away. You know, you're looking at one thing and it seems like it's one way, but really it's just not. And I really admire, I admire when I look at Elder Rufus and I just look at how consistent he is and not led by feelings, not moved by feelings at all. And I truly do ask the Father, like, you know, Father, I know you created me a woman, but I truly admire the balance that you've given my husband. And I just ask that you would give me that same balance. I truly do pray that. And I even ask the same thing for the daughters that are under him as well. Because, you know, they are, the husbands are the leaders and we are to follow. So I truly, that is something I truly do pray for. Sister Ashley.
I admire the strength of men as well, and even just that Yah-given strength that can keep us very single-minded. You know, what does it say? Let your eye be single, right? Because their mind is what we can teach our daughters to fight with. You know, when my mind is wrong and my thoughts are wrong and my feelings are wrong, you can look to the strength of your father or your husband or your leader's mind and think like him, if that makes sense. I know this speech the world wouldn't understand for sure, but I can fight my battles with my husband's mind. I've been with him long enough to know how to apply his strength in when my mind is weak, you know. And that's what a lot of you guys are gaining, you know, if you're early on or even if you're single or wherever your circumstance may be, your let this mind be in you even so Christ Jesus, right? It's Christ Jesus' mind. That's the important role that a man plays in our life, and that's why it's spoken about so frequently and often too, because a lot lays upon them. A lot lays upon them. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. A lot lays upon them, and I'm just thankful that the Father truly gives them the wisdom and the strength to be able to overcome. I remember one day a couple weeks ago, I'm in the kitchen working, and, you know, you can tell when something happens spiritually and it's just something's not right. And I remember texting Elder right away, and I was like, hey, just need you to pray. I was like, I don't know what this is, but there's a heaviness that's just trying to come in. So I put some praise music on, and that's what I told him. I said, I put some praise music on, and I'm continuing to work. And he just goes into worship right there. So he's battling with me. He's on the road somewhere, and he's battling with me while I'm in the kitchen. And literally 10 minutes later, it's gone. So I do appreciate being able to have someone over me that I can just truly depend on and truly count on and mirror his level of faith. Sister Ashley?
Thank you for that. Thank you to Elder Rufus and just for you mentioning it, because those concrete examples are important, Mother Jennifer, for just the development of homes, you know. It's inevitable that everyone's going to experience some really low places, you know, as we purge, as we clean, as we're afflicted, as we fight the enemy, right? Not to justify us by any means for the weakness of our flesh, but to say that, hey, we have these trials going on and this is what we're doing, you know? This is a example of what works and what we're doing. That helps. That really helps, because now someone else can do that. You know, I want to read this real quick and hit a music break, and hopefully you guys will have some questions. We are running out of things to chat about, okay? We're drawing it out, I guess I could say. We're just drawing it out. Page 15 in the Evil Spirits of Arrested Development, book number 42. This is not its first time debut on our show for sure, but it says, human emotions are a primary focus of attack. When spirits manifest, they can produce childishness and immaturity. Childish attributes include strong will, defiance, rebellion, temper tantrums, always wanting his own way, childish self-will, irresponsibility, fearful, jealous, and foolishness. Proverbs 22:15, it talks about, and also Ephesians 4:14 if y'all want that, but it says, be no more children tossed to and fro. To be overly dependent or to continually need instruction when you are to be trained up in a child in the way that you should go and then grow on, move on. And then it even cites here that you should be teachers of good things, but many of you still need to be taught. The Word talks about that too, right? Hebrews 5, needing milk and not meat. So I like that reference to Arrested Development. I like that, because Paul's speech also taught us to move past the continual need. You know, sometimes the rejection's just never satisfied. You can drain a leader, a head of a community, a pastor, a lead wife. You can drain someone in your life by, you know, constantly needing them. I don't want to introduce that to an immature mind, because you're supposed to need them, you know. You're supposed to pull on them, go to them, seek them out. But, you know, check your motives. If it's been 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, and you're constantly needing this person in the same, you know, in the same way that you always needed them, just like a mom or a dad, you know, let's grow up a little. Grow up a little. Let the Ruach teach you and train you differently. Let the rod be applied differently. Let your questions be more mature. You know, let's season ourselves in this thing. All right, we'll be right back. I love this song. Y'all know we love Psalms 23. But here it goes. Be right back, Mother Jennifer. Yeah, we are back. Hallelujah. You know we love our Psalms. Psalms 23. It's one of my favorites. Hey, no questions. Maybe you guys are just listening. Hey, give us a thumbs up.
We got
up.
One. We do have one.
Oh, thank you. I misrepresented. Go ahead, please.
Yes, ma'am. It says, thank you for your constant labor of love. What are your thoughts about women listening to rap music, even though it is gospel-oriented? He says, what are your thoughts about women listening to rap music, even though it is gospel-oriented? Sister Ashley?
I got to lean to the words of my shepherd who says, I can feel the spirit of Yah and worship him listening to anything. And then he said, maybe not listening to anything, but we don't knock anyone's worship. No matter what, they feel the Father and connect with the Father through, you know. I don't listen to it, but I wouldn't sway others from listening to it because we're all women of the Father, you know. We're all in covenant agreement, you know. I'm sure, yes, you could find that rare occasion where somebody is, you know, maybe they used to rap themselves, and now that's what their flesh connects to, and they're doing it, and it ain't right. Yeah, but no, that's not who we're talking to tonight. Now, you can put on that good lyrical music, you know, and the rap artists are really able to make that beat fit those words, you know. And for most people, they really connect with lyrics anyway. You know, I know the beat makes you rock back and forth and it makes you move and sway and praise, but it's got to be those words, at least for me. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. It's very important to focus on your own personal conviction, you know, your own conviction. You know, what is your conviction when it comes to rap music? Do you feel a connection when you listen to it? But like Sister Ashley said, we don't knock someone else because their conviction is different. So I hope that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
Yes, I hope it makes sense too. You know, I personally have things that, you know, connect with me that I wouldn't expect you guys to. You know, like Mother Stiles would walk up in the kitchen now and just go. There's no way. She wouldn't even sit with us. She wouldn't sit with any of us, talk with any of us, listen to anything that we listen to. There'd be absolutely no connection. Y'all know we always talk about Mother Stones. There'd be no connection with her and us. Completely different time. She was raised on a sharecropper's land, right? That's just a glorified slave, honestly. They were still in bondage. She grew up that way, stuffing cotton and rags into two quilts to make her own mattress. She would not bop her head, sway her hips, or jive, or rap at all. So if you ask her, she'd give you a completely different answer. She'd say it ain't holy. But we come from a different generation. We come from a different time, and we've been listening to a lot more things. We've been exposed to a lot more things. We connect with different things. Our senses have been on overdrive, and I wouldn't want to put that requirement, her requirement, on us as we find our way out. You know, I can't say she's right. I cannot say she's right and you're wrong for listening to it. You know, so you're going to find somebody that agrees with you no matter what you ask them. That's part of the faith. That's what's so interesting. Like, we have need that we go on and be teachers of good things, right? But we don't have one mind at times. So you need to answer with love and answer with balance and not to condemn anybody, you know. I didn't come from myself with my answer or I'd have been like, oh, you need to turn that shit off. Right? And that's not right. What if half the leadership listens to it? Pastor Corey even raps. I love his music. Right? If I can say raps. Some of the brothers, what's the CJ? I love when I hear the righteous brothers speaking flowetry, you know. So, yeah, you just can't put a black or white answer to it, Mother Jennifer. I just wanted to cover it as I rambled. But, yes, as we always end, we say, I hope that helps. Back to you.
Yes, ma'am. We have another email, and are you ready for me to read it?
I'm ready.
Okay. This sister says, Shalom and blessings. I would like to share a testimony that I am very thankful for. In the world, I use drugs, and I would pride myself on not being addicted like I saw other people. Being able to stop some things or cut it out of my life was very easily. Even fasting before the truth was very easy for me, and I would go 3 to 7 days without eating for health purposes. When I stopped drugs, I never even thought of them again or had any desires of them but food. When I came into the truth, after having that train wreck moment, learning spiritual reasons of fasting, I could not fast whatsoever. Food was literally a thorn in my side. I knew it was addiction, but didn't really understand then the levels of it. A few years in the truth, I was able to get deliverance. Hallelujah. It wasn't easy for me, like some things I've been delivered from. Some days, it would be a daily battle to fight thoughts about food, murmuring in my head, wanting something else than I knew that I could have. A certain situation happened in my life that was extremely traumatic, and I didn't even realize the trauma until recently. I acknowledged the deep hurt. I acknowledged probably every other spirit than trauma. Recently, the Most High led me to speak with a sister about some extreme pain that I had been having that I've already been healed from 3 different times. That sister led me to go back and listen to the sister-to-sister a few weeks back about trauma, and I did. There were 2 instances that came into my spirit. The first one was my father passing, and I remember being extremely angry with him. But then realized in praying and meditation on the situation, I was able to admit that I was really mad at Yah. I cried out and repented to him. While I was repenting, he took back in my mind to every time, even the exact place, when I questioned him or hated him, and I was able to repent. I was so thankful that he blessed me with remembering and being able to repent and feeling his love of forgiveness. I started meditating on the 2 instances of trauma that happened in my life a little over a year ago that I never understood or recognized as trauma. Applying the sister-to-sister with trauma come addiction and realizing that since this last situation happened, the spirit of food addiction has overtaken my mind again. I could tell it was related to comfort, like eating for comfort or wanting food for comfort. Yesterday, spending time with the Father before Lion's Den came on, I realized that I had hidden unforgiveness towards myself and the other person in the situation. I was able to repent. I could feel chains being broken. Then I turned on Lion's Den, and Pastor was talking about forgiveness. Yah really pulls everything together so perfectly in his timing. With confirmation, then he doesn't even have to give. I'm so thankful for being able to get closer to Yah and know him more, know how I can love him more, and love who he made me. Bless you all for the work that y'all do for the glory of Yah. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Nothing to add. I love the testimonies. Praise Yah. I understand what freedom is like. I understand what the Ruach's communication to your soul about yourself is like. And I always appreciate his blood, for it never dries up. Praise Yah. Brother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Next email says, Shalom, Mother and Sister Ashley. Can you speak on the American girl mindset? Coming from another country, most things here we didn't have there or back then. In most third world countries, the women would be with the women and the men would be with the men and get served well by the women, because they were the ones working hard, and the women would be home caring for the children, gardens, farms, or shops, like a restaurant or cleaning thing, mostly food and women things. How to renew our mindset to the Hebrew mindset? We didn't have Thanksgiving or Valentine's Day or 4th of July. It seems here has a reason to always party and spend money. Thank you for your time. and for Sister Blog Talk, always aligned with these spirits that I need help in. I'm grateful, and thank you again. Shalom. Sister Ashley?
And the most simplest answer I could give, you've been brought over here to endure. You know, we're there's only so much of us that we're going to change or be changed, you know, as a people, and we're all going to endure one another to the end. You know, the spirit of control can be upon all women universally, spirit of the world, and spirit of control can be on all women, and wanting your mind in others, you know, can hinder any of us. And so really yielding to the process of purging while not expecting that same purge to the person or the woman next to you is really good growth. And the reason I say that is because she has to endure certain things in this country and even amongst the people of the faith that she didn't have, you know, back home. And so if we're in the faith doing things that you wouldn't have done, that's an endurance. But it's not going to stop, you know, tit for tat or right or wrong, et cetera. It is a different custom. And we're shedding them at the Most High Yah's requirement. I hope, you know, as he requires, we shed it. As he requires, we shed more. We shed more. We shed more. So, hey, welcome to the fight with us. And as we endure you, you endure us. I'm sure if we went over to your back home and your country, we will be enduring you guys, right? So it doesn't make your culture more right than America. Like you said, we're trying to strive for a Hebrew culture. And, gosh, it's like a melting pot. Is everybody's, you know, upbringings and customs. There's hundreds of us, you know, and we all have a way that seems right, everybody. So it's just a lot of dying out to do, and the Most High Yah has a lot of pondering, a lot of moving and shaking, a lot of chests and checkers and every kind of move. I just can't imagine what he does, you know, as he looks out upon his people in love to move us all in one direction. You know, he's got to work. He's got to work to do, and he won't be stopped. Praise Yah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley, very well said. I have nothing to add to it. Very well put.
Hey, real quickly, because our sister that testified of addiction, you know, it is so common. If any of you guys have any form of addiction, it's going to be difficult to walk away from any addiction if you're still strongly feeling unloved. Because what always happens, and I could probably say 100% of the time, that would be based on all of your testimonies and not just my word, but there's going to be some cross addiction where you lay one addiction down and you pick another one up, you know? So feeling unloved is a mental disease. It really is. Feeling the need to be loved, feeling the desire to have more love and nurture than you have in your life, no matter who you are or whose woman you are or the wife you are to the Messiah, et cetera, it's a huge issue. And so that's why we bring it up tonight. We bring up the needs to be loved are not your list, you know. That list is from the Creator. It's met by Him. It's made by Him. And there's going to be a lot of feelings along the way. But, yeah, most definitely nurturing was needed for any addictive pattern. Nurturing was needed. You didn't get it, and you were driven by the need to be loved. And according to Henry Wright, the mouth, the lips, and the sucking reflex of eating or something touching your lips has a nurturing effect on the brain and also on dopamine. And so because of that mouth-mind-body connection, it's deep. It's really, really deep on what the flesh demands while it's not getting love, while it's not feeling love. And that makes perfect sense when you say that you had issues with self or unforgiveness of self, because that means you were not loved, or in your perception you weren't. Either way, the nurture wasn't there, and then you began to fault yourself. because that's what, for whatever reason, a defense mechanism within mankind does, because maybe it's Satan's scheme to constantly separate us from the Father and introduce that accusation against your own self to hold yourself in your own prison, you know? So it just all makes sense to me, but hey, from cocaine to food to cigarettes to any dopamine release, it just makes sense that you would have some self or some unforgiveness of self that you were covering up. And I'm blessed the Most High, yeah, He's the revealer of all things. He works in us the will to do and the healing. So if you have a will to change, it's because He worked that in you. That's why He deserves all the glory. Because our will to change and our will to forgive is not even of our own mind. And sometimes we take that glory from Him. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Next email, it's actually a praise report. It says, since my deliverance with Mother Carol and Sister Ashley when I was on the land, I have been doing self-deliverance, one being of importance on the sister-to-sister topic of self-hatred, in return gaining self-love. I've been doing self-deliverance. I'm sorry, I've just read that part. The world's way to romance blinded me from the true romance from Yah. Now forgiving myself is opening me in loving myself and Yahweh, the Father who created me in love. Hallelujah. I had a breakthrough so much that I'm honored to receive the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. That's a first for me, and it has been coming forth more. Hallelujah. I'm humbled, calling all joy, continuing to strive in faith by works, repentance, purge, and continued deliverance. I so appreciate Sister to Sister. That is a self-process in my growth and walk. I rejoice praising Yah. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, the gift of love, you know, that Ruach, that Holy Spirit. Once again, sealing another one and proving His love. Man, bless you, Father. We have accused you of so much rejection. We misunderstood your love, oh my gosh, from the beginning. Help us to understand love. Help us. Hallelujah. Help me. Help me. Mother Jennifer, praise Yah.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. I don't see any more emails in here, Sister Ashley.
All right, nothing else. Oh, thank y'all so much for listening. Thank you for enduring us. Thank you, Granny Barb, for coming in. What was this, Granny Barb? Grapes, right? Grape smoothie. She dropped me off a cranberry. Tasted just like grapes. It was a smoothie, guys. All right. What else? I feel like this show part is going to go off and I missed something, but that's okay. It's just a feeling, right? Ain't got to be a fact at all. Remember, next week will be our last show before the Feast of Trumpets. We won't have a show on September 14th, okay? You'll be watching us live, I'm sure, as we march around. I think I've told y'all that story. Nehemiah was young when we marched around, and we marched past the tabernacle, and we marched all the way up into a man's house. I can't remember his name now. But shortly after that, we purchased that house and that land and added it to the community, and now it's Brett's home. And so the way that that computed in Nehemiah's mind, I didn't know until the next year. When we marched on the Feast of Trumpets again, this story's going to make sense in a moment, and we marched to Brett's house, and we didn't march past it, and we marched back to the tabernacle, Nehemiah was crying. I asked him, of course, why? And he says, we didn't conquer any more land. And in his mind, the Feast of Trumpets, that's what we do. We conquer land. We walk, and wherever we go, it becomes ours. And that's what I got out of his heart when he was only, oh gosh, he was 4 or 5 years old. I don't know. He's 7 now. How long you been there, Brett? See ya. Maybe y'all know I ain't good at numbers. Could have been a few years ago. But that was really sweet. That was precious. So he's just really, when we marched all the way down to the end of Dotson, he was expecting big things. Even though I told him, just because we walk it doesn't mean it's going to become ours. He still holds that custom. Like, that's what it should. It should be that way, you know. It should be that way. If we walk to it and we march to it and we shout and blowing shofars and calling on Yah, And then we should own that land. That's sweet. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, anything else before I let you go?
No, ma'am. That's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Praise you. Thank you so much, Mother Jennifer. Bless you and all of Georgia. Good night.
Praise Him for everything that I've read.